We're holding on Ayin Bey's, Ahmed Bey's, the last line, last few words. We learned yesterday that only a we had a machlokas actually in a braisa, whether if somebody has a besa tevin or besa bakar or whatever, a place where they store straw or where they keep their animals or whatever in a different chatzer where they don't live, do they have to participate in that chatzer's Erev Chatzeres in order for the people in that chatzer to be able to carry? Or do we say since they don't live there, then no? So we have the Tanakama saying that it does, and Rehuda saying only if it's a makam dira, which we said, so only if it's a makam dira, so a place where he actually lives. In other words, so it has to be, we said it has to be both. It has to be a place which is normally suitable to live in. So for example, if you have a person living in a base shah, which is a gatehouse, or an achsadra, an area that's open, that's closed on three sides and completely open on the fourth, etc. Such a person doesn't aser in the sense that where he's living, even though right now he may be living and camping out there, that can't really be considered a dira such that he would aser everybody else. But you also have, even if there's an actual building such as a beis hatevin or what have you, but nobody lives there, then Rabbi Huda is saying that that's not enough, that doesn't aser. He doesn't need to join in the Erev Chatzeres with that, with the people of that chatzer, unless he actually lives there. So the Gemara says, my makam dira. So what do we mean by a makam dira in this sense? What determines what is a place, what is a person's makam dira? Rav Amar makam pita. Rav says it's the place where he eats. Or Shmuel Amar makam lina. Shmuel says the place where he sleeps. Within that, you have a machlokas rishonim, whether Shmuel means also the place that he sleeps, meaning, in other words, the place where he eats and where he sleeps would both be considered his makam dira, or does he mean only lina, he doesn't care about where the person eats at all? So the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction on Rav, who's saying that you go according to where he eats. A Braisa says, now this Braisa is going to be talking about issues involving Tchum, and Eruvei Tchumin, which we dealt with earlier in the Masechta, but still, we're going to use the whatever we say, where a person's place of residence is, as far as that, the Pashtus is going to be the same as far as Eruv Chatzeres. And so the Braisa says, Haroyim, shepherds, Vakayotzin, people who are watching dried fruit. So you spread out figs, for example, to dry in the field, and you have somebody guarding them to make sure somebody doesn't take from them meanwhile. Baha Burgonin, people who live in huts. We learned about Burgonin earlier in the Masechta. They would be, for example, city watchmen or field watchmen or whatever. Of a shomer peiros, or anybody else who's guarding fruit or produce while it's growing or when it's almost ripe, whatever. So all those kinds of people, they stay outside the city. So bisman shadaukan lolin beir, if they regularly stay overnight in the city, in other words, they come home every night or at least every Friday night, and they eat there. So then even if at the beginning of Shabbos they were still out in the field, harehen ka'ansheir, we still treat them like the people in the city, and therefore their tchum is the tchum of the city, and the whole city itself counts for them like four amas. Bizman shadaukan lolin basada, if they usually stay overnight in the field, so then the other way around, even though they come into the city to eat, but when they sleep at night, they sleep out in the field. Then we measure 2,000 amas for them in every direction from the watchman's hut or whatever where they're staying. And that means, as we've learned before, that if the whole city is within their 2,000 amas, then fine, the whole city is still going to count as four amas. But if not, then not. If not, then they're only going to be able to walk through part of the city, and they're going to have to stop at the 2,000 amma line. The point being that we see that it does depend on where they sleep. So that works out nicely according to Shmuel. What would Rav say to that? The answer is, Hosam Anan Sadi. The answer is that's a little different, because we can be Edim. In other words, the fact is, why are they eating out? What are we saying? These people are sleeping out in the field and they're eating in the city. And then we're saying that we're going according to where they sleep. Meaning, So why are we considering where they sleep to be the primary thing? Because Anan Sadi, we can be Edim, De'imamtulahu Rifta Hossam, if they were to bring them their food there out in the field, Tfeinichalahu, then that would be much, they would much prefer that because they have to be out there in the field watching, they have to be out there in the field watching the sheep or the dried fruit or whatever. So they have need to be there as much as possible. So therefore, if they so the only reason they go into the city to eat is because they don't have food out there. Maybe they can bring along snacks with them or something, but they're not sitting down to a full meal out there. But intrinsically, their main place is out in the field. So then Rav would still call that Mokum Pita. Yes, in practice they're eating in the city, but that's not by choice. That's only because they're forced to by circumstances.
Why do we use a group of people that represent a very, very small minority that they sleep outside? Most people eat and sleep in one place, and that's the definition we should use.
Using this, that's fine. We can still use this braisa. You're asking why we're using them as an example, because it's from the extreme cases that we learn halachas, right? Normally, you have most people, you're right, most people eat and sleep in the same place, but then in that case, you're not going to have a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether it's Mokum Pita or Mokum Lina. The whole point is we want to find somebody who regularly eats in one place and sleeps in one place, and these Roiv and Kayotzin, etc., are an example of that.
We could have a machlokes case. One Rav could say in both places, and Shmuel could say in one place.
Avraham Moshe. That's according to some of the Rishonim. I think, for example, the Baal Amor, that is what Shmuel means. When he says Mokum Lina, he means Af Mokum Lina. But Rav is saying exclusively Mokum Pita. So now we had a question on him where it seems that it's only Mokum Lina. And the answer is, in this case, it is their Mokum Lina. It would be their Mokum Pita. It would be their Mokum Pita as well, were they able to. So Okay, continues the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yosef, lo shmieli hashmaita. Rabbi Yosef says, I didn't hear of this statement, of this discussion, where Rav said Mokum Pita. As we know, Rabbi Yosef had gotten sick and forgotten his learning. So he now, after he recovered, he didn't remember this, and he was surprised. How is this? This is being discussed in the Bismedrish, and I never heard of it before. Amalei Abaya, Aft Amrit Nialon. And as usual, Abaya tells him, you're the one who told it to us previously before you got sick. And the context was, Vaha Amrit Nialon, the context that you told it to us was as follows. He wants to remind Rabbi Yosef of what he had taught them so that he'll know it again. We learn in a braisa, brothers who eat by their father's table and sleep in their own individual houses, which is the case of our Mishnah. Actually, it's not a braisa, it's our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, we said, sometimes certain, depending on the circumstances, sometimes they need a separate eruv contribution for each one. In other words, each one is considered a separate household. And so we Talmidim said to you, Rabbi Yosef, Shmamina Mokum Lina Godem. Does that mean like what Shmuel is saying, that Mokum Lina is the primary thing? Because we're saying the fact that they each stay in their own houses, in their own apartments, in the Chatzar, is enough to make them be considered separate households. But Amrit Lan Allah, and then you answered us on it, Amr of Yehuda Amr Rab, Makabli Prastranu, what we learned yesterday, that at the beginning of the Gemara, that Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rab, that we're talking about a case where they don't even eat. They don't even necessarily eat in the father's house. They just receive food or money from him they receive food from him, which they then go and eat in their own houses, or they receive money, which they then go and use to buy food. So then there isn't even a Mokum Pita in the same place. Again, we discussed yesterday that Rambam, for example, holds that it means they do regularly eat by him, just not necessarily all the time, but whatever. The point is, in other words, Mokum Pita Gerdim would be, according to Rav, would be if they're always eating there. So Rav would say that, yes, if they're always eating by the father, then we would say Eruv Echad L'Kulam, they're all considered one big household, only because in this case, they're not actually eating there. They're only Mekabel Pras, and then they have their own houses where they go and eat over there. So therefore, that's we don't need Shmuel's opinion that Mokum Lina Gerdim. Even Rav would agree that that's considered separate. That that's considered that they live in separate places and they therefore need separate contributions for the eruv. Okay, so more on this topic. Tanan Abanan, Mishi Yeshle Chomesh Noshim Mekablis Pras Mibalehen. If a man has five wives, each of whom receives a portion from her, from their husband. So same idea. In other words, each one has their own house and they receive from him money or food for the money, or they receive from food or money for food or whatever, and they eat and they eat individually. But chamisha avodim mekablan pras merabehem, or the person has five avodim, each of whom also receives a pras from their master. So what's the din? Do we say that they're considered separate households as far as Erev Chatzeres or not? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Matir ben Noshem ve'oseh ba'avodim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, with the wives, it's mutter, meaning we consider all of them to be one big household, and therefore each one doesn't have to contribute separately to the Erev. But ve'oseh ba'avodim, but he says it's also, when it comes to the avodim, each of them would be considered a separate household. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, Matir ba'avodim, ve'oseh ba'noshim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says the other way around, that it would be mutter by the avodim and also by the women. Reasons why we would say one way. So the Gemara is going to give in a second a reason why Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says that. But there are a number of svaras that the Rishonim and Achronim bring why there should be a difference between why indeed there should be that difference, why we would say there would be a difference between wives and avodim. One point is, in a way, wives are closer in the sense, let's say you have, among other things, first of all, each take a gufay, and that applies no matter how many of them there are. You even have, for example, for certain purposes in halacha, what if the guy dies childless, for example, when we get to Masech Yevamos, Bez Hashem, you know, you have all the dinim over there where if Yibum or Chalitza is done with one of the wives, it'll pater all the other ones. So therefore, there's logic to say that all of them are considered like one person, like one big household. As opposed to avodim, you don't have that. The other svara is the other way around. You could say, on the other hand, avodim are their kinyan kasper. He bought them, therefore there's more reason to consider like they're all one big possession of his, as opposed to women on, as opposed to wives or not. Ben Yehoyada, by the way, makes a point over here. Why dafka are we mentioning five wives? So he says, when you think about it, you have a halacha. The Gemara mentions elsewhere that Amman brings in Hilchos Ishus that. Before Cherem Deir Ben Gershom, obviously, even though in principle a man is allowed to marry as many wives as he wants, the Chachamim recommended that he shouldn't marry more than four, because since the average person's oina with his wife is once a week, so like this, at least each of them will get him to herself once a month. So you have five of them means you don't even have that. You're beyond the limit of four. You would think maybe therefore they don't have such a kiruv hadas between them. They don't have such a mental connection, an emotional connection between them to be considered all one family. And nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says that they do. And then Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says that not. Omar Rav, my time at Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So Rav says, what's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's reason why he says that avodim are considered more connected to him than wives? Dichtiv, Daniel b'tram malka. You have a pasuk that describes how Daniel was at the king's gate. Now, Daniel is not at the king's gate. Daniel is not at the king, at Nebuchadnezzar's gate, that is. He's not there 24-7. And nevertheless, the pasuk talks as though he is, because he's always available. So in a similar vein, then, in other words, the avodim are much more always available to their master, even if they're not actually there right now. So therefore, that's a reason to say that even if you have a bunch of avodim, that nevertheless, we would say that they're always considered connected, and therefore that they're all considered one big household. Tosfos brings from Ben Hananel a different explanation, that it's not really so much a reason as a simon. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, we want to keep track between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. The word Bava actually means gate. The word tra in the pasuk with Daniel, but tra malka, it's Aramaic. Also, tra means a gate. So therefore, so it helps you remember that Daniel, who was a servant of Nebuchadnezzar, he was one of Nebuchadnezzar's ministers actually. But the pasuk often uses the word eved even for a minister of a king. So he is associated with tra, a gate, which in turn is associated with bava, which means also a door or a gate. So that helps us remember which one said which. So the Gemara continues. Pshita ben etzel aviv kedam moron. Now, by the way, what is that? The halacha in this case is an interesting one. You have different Rishonim argue who should the halacha be like, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira or Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. The Rambam, in fact, paskins like both of them, Lakula. So it works by both by Noshim and by Avadim. And why is that? Again, because since we say that in general, we try to be makel in the dinim of Eruv, so here you have a reason to say that it should apply to wives. You have a reason to say that it should apply more to Avadim. So therefore, the halacha is that it applies equally to both. And that's how it's brought l'maisa. Okay. So the Gemara continues. Pshita ben etzel aviv kedam moron. Now, it's obvious that if a son is by his father, then we said that it depends whether he's actually eating by him or whether he's just receiving pras. So to recap, we said in the Mishnah, if there are other people living in the chatzar, and the Eruv is being brought to one of those other people's houses, then we consider them separate households and each one needs to participate individually in the Eruv. As opposed to, we said, if nobody else is living in the chatzah with them, or if nobody else is living in the chatzah with them, or if if the Eruv is being brought to one of their houses, then we say that Eruv Echad Lekula, and then all of them are jointly one household as far as Eruvin. So, okay, we say that as far as sons or children by their fathers. When it comes to wives with their husband, where they stay in separate houses, but they receive a pras from him, or avodim by their master, same thing. We said that, not same thing. We said there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, whether the wives are considered closer or whether the avodim are considered closer. The question that we have is, Talmud Eitzel Rabbi Mai. What about if you have a similar arrangement between a Talmud and a Rebbe? He lives in the same chatzar. The Rebbe gives him a pras. The Rebbe gives him food or money for food, and he eats it by his house. Is there reason enough to say that they're closely enough related to say that they could be considered in some cases one household? So Toshma, the Rav Beir Rav Chiya, we can prove, because Rav, relative to the household of Rav Chiya, Rav was Rav Chiya's nephew, actually, but he was also his Talmud. You had this kind of arrangement. They lived in one chotzer and he received a pras from him. And Rav said, Omar, Eino Netzrichen La'ariv, we don't need to make a separate Eruv, Sharei Onu Semchen Al Shulchanesh Rav Chiya, because we depend on Rav Chiya's table. Similarly, Rav Chiya Bei Rebbe, Rav Chiya himself, when he would go to Rebbe, and the same thing, he would stay in the same chotzer, and we were seeing a pras, he would say, Einon Tzrichim La'ariv, we don't need to make an Eruv Chatzeres, Shonu Semchen Al Shulchan Shel Rebbe, because we're depending on Rebbe's table. So yes, we see that the same kind of thing applies to a Talmud with the Rebbe. So it doesn't even need to be, in other words, the point is, it doesn't even need to be a blood relationship. As long as it's some kind of, I mean, Avodim is not a blood relationship either, but whatever. The point is, it doesn't need to be any kind of financial or personal or whatever relationship. It's enough if you have a relationship like a Talmud to a Rebbe. Tosfos on the previous daf, in fact, talks about, you have an example where a person has a sofer or a melamed boarding by him, or you have bacharim that come to learn Torah and they board by somebody. So Tosfa says that even if they actually eat separately, if they all eat in the same place, then of course makom pita godim, and then we're saying they don't have to join separately in the eruv. Even according to Shmuel, Tosva says they still they're able to, since they have the run of the whole house, they're able to go within reason anywhere they want in the house, and they use everything in the house. They can go anytime into the kitchen and cook, for example. So then they're all considered to be adjuncts of the balabais. Also, Tosfa says another svara, which this svara is brought in Shulchan Aruch, when he lent them these rooms. What do we have over here? We're saying that he has a sofer, for example, working by him, let's say while he's writing a sefer Torah, or he has a melamed boarding by him to teach his children or whatever. He's he's giving them the rooms to use while they're there. He's not giving it to them with the intention that they should asser on him. So therefore, and we even have that in principle that you could fire them whenever he wants. So therefore, all of that is enough to say that they're not considered separate households, and therefore they don't need separate Eruvin. So in Shulchan Aruch, it brings that with the caveat that if he actually rented the rooms to them such that he can't actually throw them out whenever he wants, then we would say they do need separate Eruvin. So you have these dinim. So you have a couple of different permutations of these dinim, but you do have many cases where they are considered one household, even though they sleep separately, and even though perhaps they also eat separately, because they have the run of the house, and because the guy didn't lend them rooms with the intention that they should ask around him. Okay. Another question. If five people, or however many people, gathered together the food for their Eruv, and now they want to join another chotzer with their Eruv as well, so when they bring over their Eruv to the next chotzer over, do they all need to participate in going and bringing the Eruv to the other place? Or actually, it doesn't really mean, you know, we were talking about yesterday, do they all have to walk it over? It doesn't necessarily mean they all have to walk it over. But Srichen Eruv v'chol echad v'echad would mean that they would actually, so we would say that the all the joint food that they gathered together is fine for one Eruv between them, but maybe when they're making the Eruv with the next chotzer, maybe they need an individual gregeris of food for each one of them. So they're going to be bringing over five gregeris, or is it enough that they have, or is it enough that they just bring over, so would we say that they need to bring over at least five gregeris, or is it enough that they're bringing over one gregeris to join with the next chotzer? Now we actually had a braisa about that before. We actually had a braisa about that yesterday on Ayin Beis and Beis. Tosfos says that Tosfos says that really Abaya didn't need to ask the question for itself. He actually was just asking it as an introduction to a question: how does this fit with our Mishnah? So Rabbah tells him you only need one Eruv for all of them. Once they all join in an Eruv, they're all considered in effect one household, and therefore they only need one. Therefore, they only need one gregeris to join together with the next chotzer. So Abaya asks him, what about the case of our Mishnah with the brothers? We're saying that there's a case where nobody else lives with them in the chotzer. Everybody who lives in the chotzer are the fathers and the brothers who receive a pras from the father. So that's the equivalent of having collected the Eruv, because we're saying that that on the face of it, we're saying is considered. Now, we said that if there are other people living in the chotzer and the Eruv is being brought to one of the other houses, then Srichen Eruv l'chol echad v'echad. So that is the equivalent, just considering the brothers and the father themselves, that would be the equivalent of having collected an Eruv between the five of them, because we're saying that among themselves, they wouldn't need to make an Eruv. They only need to make an Eruv because there were other people living in the Chatzar. And we're still saying, and still the Mishnah says that there are cases where they need a separate Eruv contribution for each one. So why should it be any different when you have one Chatzar and then the Chatzar next door? Tosfos had said that Abaya knew of this braisa. He just wanted to use it as an introduction to ask the question on the Mishnah. Rashi actually says that no, either Abaya didn't know of the braisa, or he knew of the braisa, but we did say that there was a machlokas involved over there. So we said over there that we had two different versions. We had two different versions of the Braisa. We said one version of the Braisa maybe doesn't even work according to either Beshil or Beshramai. So Abaya might have felt that maybe this Braisa is not correct according to Halacha. So therefore he's asking. And especially how does it fit with our Mishnah? According to Tosfos, Abaya knew the Braisa very well. He was just wondering how it fits with our Mishnah. So the question again is that the brothers, they collect, it's considered as if they collected the food among themselves. That's why we're saying that if there's only them in the chotzer with their father, then they don't need the Eruv. And you're because you were hot. So, actually, if you don't mind, could you open the window? Thanks. So, and yet we say that there's a case with Tzrichin Eruv L'Cholach HaBerchad. The answer is, the Gemara says, Hochab Maiskin Ken Di'ikad Di'urin Bahadayu. Yeah, but the case where we're saying where they need Eruv L'Cholach HaBerchad, the case where they need Eruv L'Cholach HaBerchad is where there are other people living in the Chotzer with them, because that's what we said. So Melichin, in other words, it means even within the one Chotzer. You're thinking, Rabba is saying to Abaya, that the case we're talking about in the Mishnah where they need a separate Eruv contribution for each one is where they're making an Eruv with the next Chotzer over in which other people live. No, the Mishnah is talking about even where they live in the same Chotzer with other people, and they need to make an Eruv between all of them, otherwise nobody's going to be able to carry in the Chotzer, and we're still saying then that Eruv L'Cholach HaBerchad. So therefore, the idea is the Migoy, the Hani Asri, Hani Nami Asri. The reason why in that case, each of them needs to contribute separately, not because they're really, the reason is because since you have other people in that same chotzer that are being oyser, if they don't make an Eruv in that chotzer, so you have the five brothers and the father, let's say, then you have a few other people living in the chotzer. If they don't make an Eruv between them, they can't carry in the chotzer, period. One's going to aser on the other. So once they have to make an Eruv, once everybody else has to contribute to the Eruv, then so do they. They also aser if they don't join in the Eruv. But not necessarily, Rabbah is telling Abaya, would the same thing apply where you have two different chatzeres? If you have the people in one chotzer made an Eruv, where now they're allowed to carry among themselves, and now they want to join with the next chotzer over in order to be able to carry between that and that and the other chotzer, they're not asering on the other chotzer. If they didn't end up making that joint Eruv, there's no migoy over here. Here we're saying migoy, since they aser, that since the other people aser, so do they. But in the case of two chatzeres, one next to the other, there's no one group asering on the other. If the people in the one chotzer make their own Eruv and they don't join the people in the next chotzer over, nobody's going to be also to carry in their chotzer. It just means they won't be able to carry between the chatzeres. So there's no reason to say that then all five of them should have to contribute towards the Eruv with the other chotzer. It would be enough if they have one contribution, one joint contribution for the five of them to the other chotzer. As opposed to the case of our Mishnah is talking about where the brothers and the father and other people all live in the same chotzer, where they, if they don't make an Eruv, they're asering. So that would be the difference why in our Mishnah each of them has to contribute separately, whereas in the case of the Braisa, where not the Braisa, and well, it isn't discussed in the Braisa, but in the case that Abaya is asking Rabbah about, they wouldn't. And the Gemara says, Hochinami Mistabra. In fact, yeah, it's logical to understand the distinction that way, that if the difference is whether there are other people living in the same chotzer, where if they don't make an Eruv, there's going to be an Eser, Dikotani, because the Mishnah continues. Emasai, Bezman Shem Elichin as Eruv and Mamakamacher. When does this apply? Only if the Eruv is being brought to a different house in the chotzer. Aval and Hoya Eruvan Ba'etzlam, but if the Eruv was being brought to their house, Oisha and Diyurin Imahin Bechotzer, or if nobody else lives with them in the chotzer, Ein Srichim Ma'arav, then they don't need to make an Eruv. So we see, therefore, that the reason why in the Reisha they need to each participate separately in the Eruv is because there are other people living there, and therefore we apply this Migoy rule. We say that once we say that there are other people in the chotzer who are not part of this Mekabalei Pras thing, and they're going to have to participate separately in the Eruv, then so are each of the brothers. But where that consideration doesn't apply, and again, the reason for that is because if they don't, then they're asering on each other and nobody's carrying in this chatzer. But that wouldn't apply where you have two chatzeres, one next to the other, where each one is not asering on the other one. All it is if they don't make a joint Eruv, they're not going to be able to carry from one chatzer to the other. Okay. Now, we talked about at the top of the Amud, we had the example of people who eat in one place and sleep in the other. We had the Royim, the Burgonin, the Kayotzin, etc., who they stay outside the city, and then they, and so we said they eat in the city. Do they sleep? Do they sleep in the city, or do they sleep? Do they also sleep in the city? So they're only out there during the day, but then they come home for dinner and to sleep, or do they eat in the city and then they go back out into the field and stay there overnight? So now we have a similar question as far as Talmid Chachamim, as far as Talmidim, as far as Talmidi HaYeshiva. So the Talmidim in the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash is within 2,000 amas of the city. They eat bread out in the valley. And then they go and they sleep overnight in the Beis Medrash. So they have the Bogger, Rashi explains, is Beis Ushpiza Babika. They have an inn or a dorm or something out in the field, not in the city. They also have the Beis Medrash is also outside the city. So again, you have a case, they're eating in one place and sleeping in another. So ki mashchinen lahu tchuma. So when we measure their tchum, mi bei rav mashchinen lahu or mi boga mashchinen lahu? Do we measure their tchum? What's considered their main place? The yeshiva where they sleep, or the boga, the dorm out in the valley, out in the fields where they sleep. Amalei. They're learning in the bei rav, in the yeshiva. They're dorming in the boga. Boga literally means a valley. So it means, Rashi explains, Beis Ushpiza Babika. It means it's a lodging place in the valley. So like a dorm. So which one counts as their... The Beis Medrash could be outside the city, could be not. We had an example earlier in the Masechta. We had an example where Reb Tarfon was outside a city before Shabbos, and his tchum is measured from where he is, so it ends someplace in the middle of the city. And we said he went to the Beis Medrash and taught Torah there all day because the Beis Medrash happened to be in the part of the city where he was able to go. So sometimes the Beis Medrash would be in the city. Sometimes, as in the example over here, it would be outside the city. Yeah, it could be. Amalei said of Sheshes answers, Mashchinen mi bei rav. We measure their tchum from the Beis Medrash, the Beis Medrash, which is where they sleep. So he asks, Vare noisin eser over b'seich alpayim ama v'osi u'bayis b'beisei. What about, you have the example of somebody who places his eruv, tchumen with within 2,000 amos, so at the end of 2,000 amos, from the city, but also your bias base, and then he goes and spends Friday night in his house, and then only the next morning does he set out in the direction where he made the eruv. And there we say we measure the tchum from his eruv chatzeres. So there we're not going according to where he sleeps. Why by these bnei bei rav would it be any different? So he answers, Bahi anan sadi overhadda anan sadi. Because the answer is, in both cases, we apply this anan sadi kind of logic that we did earlier on the Yom. Just like we said, as far as the watchmen and whatever, that anan sadi, we can be edim, that they would actually prefer to be able to eat out in the field as well. And that way they don't have to schlep back and forth. It's only that it's not available to them in the field, and therefore of necessity, they have to come home for it. Here we can say like this, when it comes to putting an Erev Tchumen, or when it comes to these yeshiva students, we also have Anan Sadi. Bahi Anan Sadi. When it comes to that case of Erev Chatzeres, Anan Sadi, if he was actually able to live there, he would prefer that. The whole point is he wants to go further in that direction. So he wants to be able to set up his makam shvisa further in that direction, further to the east, let's say. So there, and if he was able to actually live there, if it was a place where he could actually set up, where he could actually set up camp over there or something, or build a house over there, he would prefer that in that sense. He can't, so therefore, of necessity, he goes back and sleeps in his house. So therefore, we can consider that to be his makam shvisa, because that would have been what he would have liked to do if he had a beis dira over there. He would have preferred that rather than having to go back and sleep in his house, because that's the wrong direction. He needs, after all, to go in the other direction on Shabbos. Uvahda anan sadi, in the case that we're discussing now about the yeshiva students, also anan sadi, de'i maisu lahu rifta levei rab, if they would bring their food to the yeshiva and they could just eat in the yeshiva instead of having to go back to the dorm and eat over there, nicha lahu tfei, they would prefer that. So therefore, the yeshiva is their primary place. al derech, like you have the expression, b'makom shemachshavta shel adam shamhu. So you have, you know, wherever they would really like to be is considered to be where they are. The Pashtus, we're talking about whether it's only on Shabbos or whether it's during, it could be that we're talking about that they regularly go during the week and eat in the dorm and sleep in the mismanage. Yeah. The first case, well, yeah, the first case, yeah, I guess we could say that we're talking only specifically for Shabbos, yeah. The first case involving the way a person puts down an Erev Truman. Yeah, that's a good point. It probably means that only on Shabbos he would like to live there, yeah, because during the week he did, yeah, because during the week he doesn't need to, yeah. Yeah. Okay, getting back now to the matter of Eruv Chatzeres, boy Romi Bachoma Merav Chista, Avu Bnoi Harab Talmidoi, when you have a father and his son, or Rav and a Talmud, are they considered Kerabim Damu Oiki Chidim Damu? Are they considered as far as a different din of Eruv Chatzeres, as far like, are they considered like Rabim or Yechidim? We have a case that we're going to learn at the end of our Perek. Suppose you have a case where we've talked about this kind of case before, where you have two chatzeres, where the people in the inner chatzer, the only way they can get in and out is by walking through the outer chatzer. Now, so we have like this. So if you have like this. If only one, so before we talked about earlier in the parak about cases where you have a yid and a goy living in one of them, where there you have the questions, when do you need schiras for shuras or not? But the Mishnah also tells us if you have a yochid living in the inner chotzer, then there's no problem, even though he didn't make an eruv with the outer chotzer, because that being a yochid, he doesn't need an eruv. So therefore, he's called Regal Hamuteres B'Mekoyma. He's allowed to freely carry in his chotzer because there's nobody there for him to make an Eruv with. The fact, therefore, that he also walks through the outer chotzer is not reason enough to make the outer chotzer also to carry in. It's called Regal Hamuteres B'Mekoyma, Eina Oiseres Shaloi B'Mekoyma. He's mutter to carry in his own zone, in the inner chotzer. Therefore, he can't aser the outer chotzer by the fact that he walks through it. No, So we're not focusing so much on whether he can carry from one chotzer to another. We're focusing on the question, is the outer chotzer, is it under the reshus of two people, such that we should say it's also if they don't make an Eruv chatzeres? And we're saying that now. Right. So we say over there, Rabbi Akiva disagrees. We're going to talk about it in a couple of days, Be'ez Hashem, but anyway, the point is, on the other hand, if you have two or more people live in the inner chotzer and they didn't make an eruv between them, then it's regal ha'asura b'mekayma. They're not allowed to carry in their own chotzer. Therefore, the result of that is also not only they've messed things up for themselves by not being able to carry in the inner chotzer, they also mess things up for the outer chotzer because now they're walking through it and therefore it's considered and regal ha'asura b'mekayma. They're also to carry in their own place, and therefore they're oiser shaloi b'mekayma. They're oiser also the chotzer that they walk through. And the only way the outer chotzer is going to be mutter to carry is if they close off the door between them and say, you know, for this Shabbos, you guys can't walk through our chotzer. We had a scenario like that the other day involving the Eruv food being in the inner chotzer versus the outer chotzer. Anyway, so the question is, where you have, let's say, if you have, let's say, a father and son living together in the inner chotzer, or Rav and his Talmud, again, where the case is that they're receiving a pras, like we said in our Mishnah and in our Gemara, are they considered a Rabim, or are they considered like Yechidim? If they're Yechidim, then there's no problem, even if they didn't make an Eruv between themselves, they're not asu in the outer chotzer. If they're considered like Rabim, then you still have a problem. They're getting pras, means they're being supported, right. So we have, let's say, the inner chotzer, you have a Rav and his Talmud living over there, where the Talmud has his own house where he sleeps, but he receives a pras from the Rav. So the question is, are they considered for the purpose of this din of one chotzer within another one, or one chotzer further back than the other one, are they considered still like a yachid, and therefore they're not going to aser the outer chotzer by them walking through it, or are they going to be considered a rabim, and unless they join in an eruv, a yachid and inside will not aser, right? So tzrichin eruv or in tzrichin eruv. So another question is if you have nobody else living with them, do they bechlal need an eruv? Are they considered like just one person and his dependents, or are they considered like separate households? And a third question, Rami Bar Chama asked a bunch of questions to Rav Chisda at the same time. The third one is Mavu Shalahen Nitter Balechi V'Koira or Ein Nitter Balechi V'Koira. We're going to learn on Omid Beis that a Mavu is only considered a Mavu as far as that you can have, that you can use a Lechi or a Koira to be Matur to carry in it, only if it has at least two Chatzeres opening into it, with each one has houses opening into it. So over here, you have, let's say each one of them has their own chotzer. So do we consider it to be as though it was one big chotzer if we say they don't need to make an eruv between them? If we say that they're considered dependents and they don't need to make an eruv between them, so would we consider those separate chatzeres for purposes of counting how many chatzeres open into this mavui, and therefore whether we can use a lechi or koira? Amale, sort of Chista answers him, Tinisua, we learned in the Braisa. Avu bnoi harabatamidai, bizman sha'eni moin diurin, if nobody else is living with them in the chotzer, harein ki yichidim, then they're considered like yichidim. So as far as the first din, then they're not going to ask for the outer chotzer when they walk through it. The ein srichim la'arav, as far as the second din, they bechlal don't need an eruv between them if nobody else is living with them. And as far as the third thing, now, on the other hand, when it comes to the mavui, so in other words, we're always going to go lakula, because like we said before, it's eruvin, and in eruvin, we usually go lakula. So therefore, adrabah, when it comes to considering it a mavui, for that purpose, we will count these as separate chatzeres. One of them is a dependent of the other, he's receiving a pras, and so forth. But nevertheless, as far as the definition, is it a mavui? Does it have two chatzeres opening into it? It does have two chatzeres opening into it. The fact that we consider them to a certain extent to be one chatzer doesn't matter. If it was one chatzer, it wouldn't be a valid mavui, because a mavui needs at least two chatzeres opening into it. If it wasn't considered a mavui, we would instead consider it a chatzer. And as a chotzer, we would say a lechi or a koda is not enough. We would need a tzuras a pesach, or we need a pas dalet, a board four tfachim wide or wider, in order to, on the fourth side, in order to be matur. One idea is that Rishonim meant bring, that Rishonim say, which is brought in Shulchan Aruch, is the more privacy that an area is used for, the more of a mechitza it needs. So a mavui is not really a very private area at all. It's a side street, after all. Therefore, lechi rakoda is enough. A chotzer, which is used for more private or semi-private activities, it's like an extension of your house, therefore it needs a tzuras a pesach or a pas dalet. A mavui that doesn't have at least two chatzeres opening into it is also, it's not public enough. It's not a public enough area to be considered like a mavui, therefore we treat it like a chatzer. Right.
They have to walk through a third chatzer to get outside.
So the key thing about that, when do they ask for the other chotzer and when not? So there's a few, we're going to learn more about it at the end of the perek, but first question is, do they have to walk through that chotzer? The case we were just talking about right now, for example, is they have to, there's no other way in and out. If they have another way in and out, then the fact that they walk into the other chotzer is neither here nor there. So there's that consideration. And then there's the question, like we said, are they a yochid or rabbim? Did they make an eruv among themselves or not? So that's what we're saying. So Rav Chisda is telling him they don't have to make an eruv. They're considered like a yachid. Since they're a yachid, then therefore they're not asking the other chatzah. In order to walk through, they can walk through regardless. But for the other people to be able to carry in their chatzah, they would need to have made an eruv. He would ask to the other people, right? So we'll talk about it in more detail on Dafayin Hay. We'll get to that in a couple of days. Bes Hashem, yeah. One interesting thing in this regard, by the way, is there's Macholikus Rishonim. So what happens if you have a couple of Chatzeres that have doorways between them? Let's say they made an Eruv jointly between them to be able to carry across all the Chatzeres. Do we now count them maybe as one Chatzer for purposes of counting whether this Mavri, how many Chatzeres it has open into it? Because now that we're able to freely carry between one Chatzer and another, maybe we consider it as one big Chatzer. And therefore, you need a whole nother chatzer that hadn't joined with them in that in order for it to be a mavui, or maybe not. So you actually have a machlokas about that. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is is that you could consider them separate chatseras still for the purpose. In practice, though, that Amar writes and the Alter Rebbe brings, nowadays, for various reasons, we don't consider, our mevoyas are not usually like the mevoyas of the times of the Gemara. They don't necessarily have batim b'chatseras psuchim l'seichai, in some places maybe, but not necessarily. So therefore, the minhag developed eventually to try and not use a lechi or kora at all, because you never know, it's hard to tell a lot of times whether it's considered a mavoi or when not, and if they made an eruv among the chatzeros, then you have this opinion that says that maybe you can't. So therefore, so just better make a tzuras a pesach or a pas dalad and then have done with it. So pas dalad means a board four tefachim wide that partially closes off the fourth side. A tzuras a pesach would be exactly that. A tzuras a pesach. So a tzuras a pesach, two poles and a string on top. So it doesn't matter which one is better. Either one is equal. So usually what people do then is they stretch a string across the entrance of the mavui, and then as long as there are poles underneath it, then good, it counts as a tzoros pesach. As we learned in the first perek, the poles of the tzoros pesach don't have to touch the top piece of it; they can be underneath it, and it has to be directly underneath. But you could have a pole a few feet tall, and then you have a space, and then you have like a power line, for example, yeah, above it or something, yeah. Right. So they put up a tzoros pesach based on what the Rama is saying. So that's for, so even if it was a, if we consider it a mavui, then technically all they need at one end is a lechi. Well, there's also the consideration, you also have those things on mavui mefulash. A mavui mefulash is a little bit different. The cases we're talking about where you need a lechi rakoda is a mavui sasim, where it's closed in on three sides. Okay, so before we leave this topic, by the way, worth mentioning. So this was saying that if the people eat in one place, it's considered to be, they're considered to a certain extent to be one household. So you have, in that connection, the Meiri mentions also the same thing. He says, if you have people are eating in a sukkah, if you have, for example, people living in a building and they all have one sukkah that they share among themselves, then that would also. You have the famous story involving the Rebbe's father, Reb Levi Yitzchak, where he was going for his smicha, and Reb Chaim Brisker asked him about such a scenario where they have people in an apartment building or in a chotzer or whatever, had forgotten to make an eruv, Shabbos sukkos, and what are they, and what can they do as far as carrying in the chatzar? And Reb Levick answers right on the spot that the sukkah is considered the eruv for them. There's a sicha where the Rebbe analyzes the whole thing in detail, how it works up yalacha, and the deeper we, the Rebbe's father. So there's a sicha where the Rebbe discusses the halachic angles of it and the deeper reasons of why particularly this question came of all others came to the Levi Yitzchak, but whatever. So it's you know, we see that the Meiri in our Gemara says exactly the same thing. That the sukkah actually, in that sense, takes the place. Not so much because it has four walls. The point is, because everybody in the chotzer eats in that same sukkah, then therefore it's the equivalent of everybody eating in the same house. Mishnah says, Chomesh chatzeres psuchas zu lezu psuchas lemavui. Suppose you have five chatzeres, or however many chatzeres, that are each open one to another, and they're open to the mavui. So you have the diagram here in Rashi. So, So if they made an eruv among the chatzeres, whether they made an eruv individually for each chatzer, but not a joint eruv between the chatzeres, or whether even if they made a joint eruv across all five chatzeres, but they didn't make a shittuf in the mavui, so the din would be mutarim b'chatzeres v'asurin b'mavui. They would be mutter to carry in the chatzeres. They would be also to carry in the mavui, because this is we had the other day, the machlokas Reb Meir and the Chachamim. Can the eruv do double duty as a shitruf? And so the Mishnah is saying that not. It doesn't do double duty as a shitruf. Therefore, they can't carry in the mavui. Therefore, they can't carry from the houses and chatzeres to the mavui. So we said within that there was machlokas amiroyim or the udi rabbon and sevaroy or whatever, whether if they made the eruv with bread, whether that could count also. So actually Rashi had learned that what it means is if they make the shittuf with bread, then it can count as an eruv and vice versa. Tosfos had said that not necessarily. Even that opinion might say that if they made the shittuf with bread, fine. The shittuf could have been done with wine or any other food, and since instead they chose to make it with bread, maybe that strengthens it and makes it to be considered the equivalent of an eruv as well. But here they made the eruv with bread. There's no other choice. You have to make the eruv with bread. You can't use any other food. So not necessarily, according to the mayor, even according to that opinion, would that be strong enough to count as a shittuv? If they, the imnishtatfu b'mavui. On the other hand, if they made a shittuv in the mavui, mutorin kan v'kan, then they're allowed to carry to and from the mavui as well as to and from the chatzeres. The Gemara is going to ask why. It should be the other way around. If they only made a shittuv and not an eruv chatzeres, they should be mutter to carry from the houses to the mavui, let's say, if there's no chatzeres in between, but not in the chatzeres, or not between the chatzeres. So we'll see in the Gemara what's going on over here in the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah. If they made the Eruv and the Shituf, one person from one of the Chatzeres forgot and did not join in the Eruv for his Chatzer. So he did join in the Shituf. He did contribute food towards the Shituf, but he didn't contribute towards the Chatzer. Mutarin, Kan V'Kan, there's still mutter to carry both in the Chatzer and in the Mavui. Now, why? Does that mean that the shittuf counts as if it was an eruv? Again, we're going to see in the Gemara what's going on over here. Mibnei mavui v'lo nishtatif. On the other hand, if somebody whose chotzer opens out to the mavui forgot to participate in the shittuf mavuyas, mutonin b'chatzeres v'asurin b'mavui. Then they're mutu to carry in the chatzeres, but they're going to be also to carry in the mavui, unless, of course, he does bitul reshus. And the logic is, sham mavui l'chatzeres k'chotzer l'batim. The mavui has the same relationship to the chatzeres as the chatzeres do to the houses. So the same way as without an eruv, you can't carry from the houses to the chotzer, the same thing. Without a shittuf, you can't carry from the chotzer to the mavui. Why does the Mishnah need to tell us that? Rashi says, because otherwise you would have thought. It's one thing, the house and the chotzer, the house is a rishus yachid, it belongs, not just a rishus yachid in the sense of rishuyas of Shabbos, but in the sense it belongs to one individual person who lives there, as opposed to the chotzer is shared with his neighbors as well, so it's similar to a rishus rabim, so therefore we have reason to make a gzera that you shouldn't carry from one to the other, but the chotzer and the mavui are both used by the rabim, maybe you shouldn't need that, so therefore the Mishnah is telling us that no, you still need a shittuf to be able to carry from one to the other. From the Chatzeres to the Mavui, yeah. So the Gemara starts off. Mani, who is our Mishnah like? On the face of it, Rameyri. Drama be'in an Eruv, be'in an Shittuf. We said the other day that Rameyri requires an Eruv and a Shittuf in order to be able to carry in the whole complex. Ema Mitziyasa, but if you're going to say that, look at the middle part of the Mishnah. V'im nishtatfu b'mavui mutorin kan v'kan. That if they join together, if they do a shittuf for the mavui, then they're mutter to carry in the Chatzeres as well. Asa on the Rabbanon. That part seems to be according to the Rabbanon. That they can, right. Yeah, so I saw that about Damri Bechod Asagia. They say that just making a shittuf mavoyas is enough and you don't need to make an eruv chatzeres as well. That Abonon, we said before, that Abonon hold both ways, yeah. That if you do one, then it counts for the other, yeah. So who is the Mishnah like, Rameyo or the Chachamim? Okay, the Gemara says Holoi Kasha. Fine, that part's not such a problem. When the Mishnah says V'im Nishtatfu, it means V'im Nishtatfu Nami Kamar. It means if they also made the shittuf mavoyas. So okay, if they made the Eruv and the Shittuf Mavoyas, then they're allowed. So there's not as much of a chiddush, fine, but it's more of like an introduction to the other cases. Yeah. Okay. Ema Sefer. But then look at the last part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says Eruv b'chatzeres v'nishtatfu b'mavui, that if they made an Eruv in the chatzeres and a shittuf in the mavui, v'shachach echad m'mnei chatzer v'lo Eruv, and one person from the chatzer forgot and did not join in the Eruv, so then we say mutarim kan v'kan, so then we say they're mutter to carry in both the chatzer and they're mutter to carry both in the chatzer and in the mavui. So what's the scenario? Hechidami. Idle batil, if the person was not mevatel rishus, amai mutarim, how could they be mutter? You have two people have bilus over the chotzer. Ela pshita de batil, obviously it must be talking when he was mevatel, but then ema sefer, then look at the fourth case of the Mishnah, shachach achad mnei mavui v'lein ishtatif, that if one person from the mavui forgotten did not join in the shittuf, mutarim v'chatzeres v'asurin v'mavui, then they're only mutter to carry in the chatzeres where they made an eruv, but not in the mavui, v'idle batil, amai asurin mavui. Now if he was mevatel, why should they be also in the mavui? And we have to say the third and the fourth case of the Mishnah are both talking about the same scenario, either that he was mevatel or that he wasn't mevatel, because otherwise what's the distinction that the Mishnah is making? The distinction wouldn't be between chotzer, between eruv and shittuf. The distinction would be whether he was mevatel or not. So it has to be if one's talking he was mevatel, the other one's talking he was mevatel. And if one's talking not, then the other one not. So maybe you're going to answer that Rameyer would hold that bitter reshus never applies to a mavui. Maybe he holds bitter reshus is valid to be able to carry in the chotzer, but maybe the chachamim did not make a concept of bitter reshus in order to carry in a mavui. And there would be logic for that, because the chotzer you need to carry in. The chotzer, again, is basically an extension of your house. You need on a regular basis to be carrying things. So it would be a hardship if you couldn't. So then the chachamim would give you a break and allow you to be mevatel. To carry in the mavui is not necessarily such an urgent thing. So maybe the chachamim are not going to allow it, you're going to say. No, Vahotanya, Share, we have a braisa earlier in the perek when we were talking about the matter of schiras reshus from the goy. And we had the case over there where there was a tzduki in the chotzer in Ram Gamliel's chotzer. Ram Gamliel's mavui, actually, and we said Ram Gamliel or his father, Reb Shimon Gamliel, told them to take everything out to take things out as soon as Shabbos begins in order to make a chazaka in the mavui. And the Braisa says, Share bitter lachem reshusa div Reb Meir. Reb Meir quotes the story as saying that the tzduki was mevatel reshus to you, but we don't want him to be able to undo his bitter reshus. Therefore, make sure that you take possession of the mavui first. So we see Reb Meir clearly holds that bitter reshus works by a mavui. Otherwise, what does he mean? Shari bitta lachem reshusay. We're talking about the mavui over there. Maru voitzios akelim into the mavui. So, yeah. Therefore, by elimination, we have to say that the fourth case of the Mishnah, where somebody forgot to join in the shit of Mavoyas, is where he wasn't Mavatal either. And that's why it's also now for everybody to carry in the mavui, because now you have somebody who didn't join in the shit of Mavoyas and was not Mavatal. Well, then, the third case of the Mishnah, where somebody forgot to participate in the Eruv Chatzeres of his individual Chatzer, also has to be he wasn't Mevatel. And yet we're saying that he's allowed that people are allowed to carry in the Chatzer and people are allowed to carry in the Mavui. So what's going on over here? Reish of a sefer to mayor mitziyaser abanon. Do we have the Mishnah going back and forth that the beginning and the end of it are according to the mayor, and in the middle, all of a sudden, we stick in a case according to the Chachamim? The Gemara says no. Cooler to mayor, he no. The answer is the whole Mishnah can be made to work according to the mayor. So why in the third case where he forgot to join in the Eruv Chatzeres, why are we saying there's no problem? He doesn't need to be mevatel the reshus, and they can still carry in the chotzer and the mavui by virtue of the shittuf. The reason is the time of my amr of mayor in an eruv or in him shittuf. Bechlal, why did the mayor say that you need both an Eruv and a Shittuf? The reason is, we said because we don't want the children, we don't want the next generation to forget about the concept of Eruv altogether. If we make only a Shittuf, the children don't necessarily know what's going on with the other neighbors around the Mavui. They know what's going on within the same Chatzer, because people are always coming and going in the Chatzer. So therefore, if we only make a Shittuf Mavoyas and not an Eruv Chatzeres, they may think you don't need either one. A Shittuf they don't know was made, and an Eruv Chatzeres wasn't made. That's why the mayor is requiring you to make an Eruv Chatzeres. Well then, Vahacha, given the Ruva Ervu, here most of the people in the Chatzer did join in the Eruv, plus you have the Shittuf, Loi Mishtakcha, so therefore it's not going to be forgotten. It's one thing if everybody in one Chatzer forgot to join in, then we would say, then we'd say the problem is that the people of that Chatzer may forget altogether about making an Eruv Chatzeres, but we're one individual in a Chatzer, then yeah. So nowadays, what they do is they hang it in shul. Well, there it describes in Shulchan Aruch, what they're doing is they're using bread as a double thing. They're using it as an Eruv and as a Shittuv. So, but again, according to the mayor, not necessarily does it work to use an Eruv and to use the same thing for an Eruv and a Shittuv. That'll depend on the machlokas, whether if they use bread, whether the mayor would allow it or not. But here we're saying this is a special case. There was an Eruv Chatzeres in each Chatzer. There was a Shittuf Mavoyas. One person forgot to join in the Eruv for the Chatzer. He's not going to ask for the rest of the Chatzer. For that purpose, we can rely on the Shittuf. He forgot the Chatzer. So we had two cases in the Mishnah. One where he forgot to join in the Chatzer and one where he forgot to join in the Mavoy. So as we said, in the case of the Chatzer, we said, nevertheless, it's still mutter to carry in the Chatzer, because we do have a valid Shittuf Mavoyas, and there's only one person in the Chatzer who forgot, and therefore that's... He doesn't have to be mevatel, that's the point. And on the other hand, with the case of the mavui, we're saying that if he doesn't join in the shittuf, then you have a problem. Then you can't carry in the mavui, because then you don't have anything to be mato the mavui. Rameyer is not allowing, because you have an Eruv Chatzeres, automatically you can carry in the mavui. You need a shittuf mavoyas for that. And you don't have a shittuf mavoyas because he wounded, because he forgot to join in with it. The only way it's going to be mutu would be if he's mevatel. The Gemara says, Amar of Yehuda, Rav. Now, getting back to the case of our Mishnah, we had the first case of our Mishnah where we had five chatzeres that are open one to the other, as well as to the as well as each of them has an exit to the Mavoi. That was the diagram in Rashi. So Amar of Yehuda, Rav loitani psucha zulazu. Rav's version of the Mishnah did not have that the chatzeres are open one to another. So Rav's understanding of the Mishnah is that we're talking about when we say eruv b'chatzeres doesn't mean that they made a joint eruv across all the chatzeres. It means each chatzer made their own individual eruv so that they could carry in their chatzer. Rav Kahana says the same thing, that Rav's version of the Mishnah did not have the point that they're open one to another. They can't carry from one to another, right? Because even they can't even, for example, throw things over the walls, because as we're going to learn in the next parak, they need to have a doorway or window between them in order to make a joint eruv. Ladders we're going to talk about also. Ladders count as doorways for that purpose, yeah. Is it the same Rav Kahana as the one with the story over there where he had to run away to Eretz Yisrael? Could be. I mean, he's a Talmud of Rav, so it's very possible. But yeah, there's. Whether Rebbe wrote the Mishnah is a huge machlokas. You have Rashi in many places writes that Rebbe just composed the Mishnah orally. The Rambam writes that he wrote it. But even according to the Rambam, I guess we could say there was still in the same ways. You have different kisvei yad. So yeah, different kisvei yad going around that with different versions. So, he was in the yeshiva when. Yeah. Okay. So Rav understands like this. The diagram is like we had it in Rashi, but you don't have the doorways between one chotzer and the next. Each chotzer has its own exit to the mavui. So they have one mavui with five chatzeres opening into it, but the chatzeres don't have any doorways one to the other. So when we say that they made an eruv, means they made each one made their own separate eruv to be able to carry within their chotzer itself. They can all go into the mavui, yeah. Others say it wasn't that Rav Kahana says that Rav learned that way, but Rav Kahana himself learned that way. Okay. Omalei Abaye L'Rabbi Yosef, my time of the Rav, Loitani Psucha Zulazu. Why Taka would Rav leave out those words from the Mishnah? Because Kasavar, Kol Shituf She'in Machnise Metzia Derech Psochem Mamavui, any time when you have a Shituf and you don't bring it out from your Chotzer to the Mavui, you can't call it a shituf. Meaning, what happens over here? If you have the chatzeres, each has a doorway one to the other. When they're joining together their food for the shituf and vayis, they're not going to have to bring it out to the mavui. They could just have the person from the first chatzer walks through the door into the second chatzer. Here, I have our food for the shituf. And the second one walks to the third one, the same thing. They're not having to bring it out to the mavui at all. Rav holds that can't be considered a shituf and vayis. The definition of shituf and vayis is that you're actually taking the food and bringing it, and you have to bring it out to the mavui because there's no other way. So it has to be, in other words, that over here, like this, in other words, so they just brought it in from one chotzer to another. It doesn't have the appearance of a shituf mavui. So the problem is, now, not necessarily over here, they didn't have to. They could have brought it out to the mavui, but Rav is concerned they might end up just bringing it from one chotzer to another and never bringing it out to the mavui. And according to Rav, that wouldn't be a valid shituf. By the way, when we're talking about the nusach of the Mishnah, according to Rav, you know, the same way as we have, for example, we have a lot of times where Rashi and Tosfos and other Rishonim and Achronim will point out, you know, it says such and such in front of this, in front of us in the Sefer, but it must be wrong based on this and this, and therefore we have to be Magdiyet, Hachi Garcina, and this is our gear. So Rav could have done the same thing. Yes, the Mishnah he finds written in front of him says Psucha Zulazu, but he learned from his Rebbeim that the halacha is that the Shitruf has to be Davka brought out into the Mavui, and therefore, based on that, he would correct the wording of the Mishnah. That's the point. If there are doorways between them, they don't have to bring it from one chotzer to another. They could conceivably take it from the first chotzer and bring it out to the Mavui, and then the people from the second chotzer, but they won't necessarily. They might just bring it from one chotzer to another through the doors and never bring it out to the Mavui at all. And Rav says that would be no good. So it must be that it's taken out to the Mavui. Not that it has to be in the Mavui. No, it's actually placed in one of the Chatzeres. But it has to at least at some point be taken out into the Mavui in order to demonstrate that it's a Shittur Mavuyas. Before Shabbos flashes. Otherwise, they can't carry. Esvi. So Abaya asks Rabbi Yosef, I have a contradiction. We learned before, Balabayas Shahoya Shutaf Lashain of Lazeba Yain, Lazeba Yain, Ain Srichan La'arav. We have the case where people are partners where they own, let's say, a barrel of wine in partnership. We said they don't need to make an Eruv. So now, the pastures, they only brought the barrel into that one chotzer, and we're still saying that he's a partner with the person in the next chotzer over in this wine, and we're still saying that Ein Srichan La'arav. The answer is Hossam, the Apke Vayale. Okay, you could say that what he's talking about is that he actually brought the barrel into each of the chatzeres, and then he brought it to the Mavui, and then into the next chatzer. So the point is, they didn't originally buy the barrel for the purpose of Shittuf, and therefore the Chiddush is nevertheless it counts, but they did actually carry it out. Rashi says, I mean, this is a doichik to say it that way. That answer is not going to stand, but right now, this is the first answer that Rabbi Yosef gave. So Abaya says, I have another contradiction. We learn in a mission in the next parak. Kate said, Mishtat from a Mavui. How do you make a Shittuf Mavui? So we say over there, you put down a barrel and you mazaka all the contents of the barrel to everybody in the Mavui. So we see it doesn't have to be taken from one chotzer to another. And the answer is also, Rav would say, Hosam Nami Da'apkiv Aile. Same thing, you could say it's talking about that he doesn't just put it down and be Mazaka, he actually takes it from one chotzer into the Mavui and then into the next chotzer and into the Mavui and so forth in order to demonstrate that's a Shittuf. So Rav Bachanan says, so what are you talking about? So are you saying by that logic that if he were to be makna to them bread in a basket, that it wouldn't work? It wouldn't work as a shittuf mavayis, that he actually has to carry it from one chotzer to another in order for it to count? V'chitema hochi nami. So you're going to answer maybe takazoi. The problem with that is, v'omer Rabbi Yehuda amar Rab, b'nei chavura shoyim mesubin. You have a bunch of people who are sitting together and having a meal on Erev Shabbos. V'kodesh alein ayoyim, and then Shabbos begins, and they're still at the meal. Ha'pas shal ha'shochan, seim chalei ha'mishum Erev. They can use the bread that's right there on the table as their Erev chatzeres. Others say they can use it as the shittuf for that Shabbos. And Rabbi says it's not actually a machlokes. Depends whether the party was taking place in the house. Then it counts as the Eruv Chatzeres, because that's where you place the Eruv Chatzeres food, is in one of the houses. So then it counts for that. The other case is where they were having the party in the chotzer. So then it counts as the shittuf, because that's where you place the shittuf of his food, is in the chotzer. But the point is, we're not saying that you need to carry it from one chotzer to another and through the mavri and whatever. So we're back to the question: why does Rav say that we're talking about that you don't have the chatzeres opening one to the other? Ela time of the Rav. No, Rav's reason is the kasavar ein mavri nita b'lechi v'koda ad shi'ubatim chatzeres p'suchan l'seichi. As we said before, the definition of a mavri is that it has chatzeres, at least two chatzeres opening into it, and each chotzer has at least two houses opening into it. If you have the chatzeres have doorways between them, then they're able to make an eruv between them, and then we're back to what we were talking about before: is that maybe considered one big chotzer? If it's considered one big chotzer, then you don't have another chotzer to be opening into the mavui. So therefore, it's not a matter of did they carry out the food or not. Like this, the mavui has only one chotzer opening out to it, and therefore you don't need a shittuf mavui. It's considered another chotzer, and you're going to need bread for the eruv chatzeres, and you're not going to be able to use a lechi v'koda, etc. So that's why Rav is saying that if the chatzeres have doorways between them, then you have a problem, because then they're making an eruv in order to be able to carry from one chotzer to another, and then it's considered one big chotzer. Or even maybe if they didn't, just the fact that they could have maybe makes it one big chotzer. So it has to be that each chotzer has its own. It has to be that each chotzer does not have a doorway to the next one, so that there's no way that they can make an eruv from one chotzer to the next. And therefore, now we can consider them separate chatzeres. Now we can consider that now this mavri has at least two chatzeres opening into it, and it can be considered a mavri for the purposes of halacha. That's the point. The fact that it has a door opening to the other chotzer would make it possible for them to make an eruv with the next chotzer over. That itself. They also can walk out to the Mavui, but the very fact that in the diagram that Rashi gave us, that they all could make an Eruv Chatzeres between them, makes it as if it was one big Chatzer. So then, that's Rav's point. That is why Rav's version of our Mishnah does not have the doorways between one Chatzer and the next in order to avoid that problem. That way it is considered a real Mavui. Okay.
The mother.
You don't put the Shittim HaVayis in the Mavu. The same way as the Eruv Chatzeres goes in one of the houses, the same way the Shittim HaVayis goes in one of the Chatzeres. No, we don't. In the end, we said we don't. We shot that down. You don't have to carry it from one place to another. That's what we said. You have the people sitting and eating together. It counts as an Eruv or a Shittim. Yeah.
Can you clarify again this thing with Rav? The doorways between the Chatzeres?
Yeah, so Rav Yosef had thought to say that Rav would hold that if you don't actually carry out the food for the Shittim HaVayis at some point, if you don't actually carry it out into the Mavui and then bring it back in and put it in one of the Chatzeres for Shabbos, then it's not a valid Shittim HaVayis. But we shot that down. We said we have a case where people are sitting and eating a meal together and the bread that they have on the table can count for Eruv or Shittim respectively, depending whether they're sitting in a house or a Chatzer. So the Maskana, we're saying that Rav is just saying the problem is if you have the Chatzeres opening one into the other and those are the only Chatzeres in the Mavui, then they're all going to be considered one big Chatzer because they could make an Erev Chatzeres between them. So the only way it would work is if you had Chatzeres on the other side of the Mavui that are not open to the ones on the first side, fine. Then either way, you have two Chatzeres, then Rav would be fine with that. But if you have the scenario, the diagram that Rashi gave us over here, you only have Chatzeres on one side of the Mavui and all of them have doorways, one to the other, then those would actually be considered one big chatzer, and therefore the mavui only has one chatzer, and it doesn't count as a mavui; it just counts as another chatzer. So we're gonna take that point back up tomorrow. That's the shame of what we mean by that. What we're saying that a mavui needs bottom chatzeres psuchim l'seichai, and the consequences of that statement.
Mm-hmm.
Shkayach.